The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
On the line with me this morning is Dr. Bo Tiwari. And we are going to be chatting with him, as we are well aware that in the coming days, October 13th, marks a very important and significant day in Trinidad and Tobago, as we are now getting the first budget presentation of this current administration to be read and presented at 1:30 p.m. in Parliament. Good morning to you, Dr. Tiwari.
Good morning. Thanks for reaching out to me. Good morning to your listeners.
Good morning, good morning. We will take a couple calls quickly from callers as well, but we ask that you be respectful in your contributions or any questions that you have for Dr. Bo Tiwari. Now, with the deficit budget, we have seen over the last 10 years this country has existed on a deficit. What are your thoughts, first and foremost, where that is concerned? Is it a signal that we fail to provide diversity for the economy or to create any sort of growth? Why is this? What are your thoughts?
Well, the deficit budget really started in 2009 with the Manning administration. And we have had consistent deficit budgeting since then every year, going up and down as the case might be. And what it means, really, if you are doing that from 2009 to 2025, that's 16 years, if you're doing that for 16 years, mm-hmm. It means that we are really living above our means. And it is a problem, and it is a challenge, and it will be tougher now as it has been over the last 5 or 6 years especially, because of the reduction in revenue from production in natural gas. So I foresee continuing deficit budgets for maybe a couple of years, but I think ultimately the government has to try to reduce expenditure and increase revenue. That's the only way you can do it. And increase production and investment at home, both local and foreign, and also reduce imports, because we have two big dependencies. One is dependence on energy, and the other dependence is dependence on imports. Both of them create a problem. One makes a shortfall in revenue, and the other one increases your expenditure. We have other problems too, but I think this year's budget will be a deficit budget. It cannot be avoided. There is no way that they could balance the budget in this year and at the same time have a developmental program. So I expect to see a deficit budget, but what would be important are the other signals that the government sends in this budget. As you yourself said, this is the first budget for the administration in a second Kamala Prasad Bisesa administration. And we've had 10 years in which the economy actually, the GDP of the economy actually was reduced by 20%. We are 20% poorer than we were 10 or 12 years ago. So the necessity is for growth, because with growth you get investment, you get jobs, etc., which we need. And at the same time, you have to manage the numbers. What kind of money is coming in? What can you afford to spend? And then, of course, we have the Forex crisis on top of that. So it's a tough situation. But we've been worse than that before. In 1986, we were worse than that. And there have been countries that have been in dire situations. Jamaica, Barbados, and they are pulling through. And further afield, countries like Greece and Cyprus And you know, they have over many years pulled through. Ireland has pulled through in a relatively short time. So we can make progress.
You know, with that being said, you mentioned the Forex shortage. We would have seen that happening over a number of years. First of all, in your expertise, can you explain to our listening audience what will cause a Forex decline, especially in Trinidad and Tobago, and what can be done to increase Forex in this country? Because we see in businesses, small, medium enterprises affected greatly, as a monopoly seem to be dominating when it comes to Forex allocation in Trinidad and Tobago, you know. So let's first help with your learned experience to explain to the population what can cause a Forex deficit and what we could do to increase it.
Well, the depletion of Forex is easily explained, all right, because our Forex has been consistently dependent, I'm talking about decades and decades, on the energy revenues. So when oil and natural gas are doing well and we have it in abundance, we have a lot of Forex, and we really, in a sense, did not manage it well, because there are two things that you have to do when you have plenty Forex. You have to conserve it so that you have buffers and savings. But secondly, you have to create other avenues of Forex earnings other than your main source, which is energy. And we have not done that very well across administrations in Trinidad and Tobago. So what has been happening is that we've been using up the Forex as the revenues from oil became less and less. Each year it becomes less. We use up more foreign exchange, and there's no replenishment. You see, when you have the oil and gas money coming in every year, you know that if you use up $300 million in Forex today, you're going to get it back tomorrow, the next year. In Barbados, for instance, they have a Forex problem. They have been in a situation where they only have 1 month of Forex to live by. But they know that with the tourism cycle, they are going to get a replenishment in the next month. And even if they use up the month, they're going to get another month's foreign exchange. It's hard and it's tough, but you have to have sources of replenishment.
But
so the reason for the crisis is that the reduction in revenue from energy has put us in this situation. And we have used up the money and are using up the money without sources of replenishment. Now, we have looked at the problem as a distribution problem. But the distribution problem has only become a problem because of scarcity of foreign exchange. But as long as you have scarcity, you're going to have a distribution problem. And what you need to solve is the growing of the pool of Forex, the replenishment issue in Forex from other sources, and therefore diversification and investment and export earnings and reduction of imports are critical for addressing the Forex problem.
When I look at our regional neighbors, Jamaica, Barbados, for example, even Antigua to some extent, you seem to think, you get a sense of Forex being a second currency. Do you think that the time has come for our administrations in Trinidad and Tobago to embrace the U.S. dollar for one? Because a lot of persons, when you hear Forex, they first think about is the U.S. dollar. They're not recognizing that Forex is any currency outside of TT dollars, right? But do you think that the time is, it will be prudent of us to now embrace the U.S. dollar because that's the one that's dominating, as a second currency in Trinidad and Tobago? That will help because persons will be allowed to come into this country, spend their U.S. will be circulating together in harmony with TT dollars as it happens in Jamaica and Barbados and other Caribbean islands?
Yeah, well, I think if we recognize the U.S. dollar and traded in it as legal tender, alongside the Trinidad and Tobago dollar, I don't think it can hurt, because all you would do is allow people to spend their forex in the commercial centers, and at the commercial center, the person who is selling or the company that is trading will simply ascribe a value to it. So it might be the official value, or it might be a little higher value, or whatever it is. And I don't think it can hurt. But I think we need to understand that there are currency problems worldwide, you know, and there are currency solutions that are also taking place. If you look at what is happening today, let's say in the global stock market, you will, in the global scenario, you will see four things happening, which is that people are investing in equities, and the equities are very, very high now, especially the tech stocks and all the various stocks, especially in technology, are rising. People are investing in Bitcoin and related coins of that nature as a hedge to the equity market. So they are looking at different stores of value. The price of gold went up yesterday to $4,025, which is the highest it has ever been in world history. And people are also in a situation where they are holding U.S. dollars, but they are taking those U.S. dollars and putting it in equities, in gold, in bitcoins, and things like that, because they are hedging, because there's a certain amount of uncertainty. So the U.S. dollar itself is under a certain kind of pressure. And you have the BRICS trying to create a situation in which they are trading outside of the jurisdiction of the U.S. dollar. And you have individual countries trading with each other in their own currency. So, for instance, India does trade with Indonesia. Indonesian pay in rupees, and India pays in the Indonesian money, whatever it's called. You see, so I think that all over the world, people are wrestling for a way to deal with this, and the world is very turbulent now. So I think trading in TT dollars and US dollars will help, but it is not a permanent solution to the problem. Because the real problem in Trinidad and Tobago is, first of all, the Trinidad and Tobago dollar in relation to the US is overvalued. We are not as productive as we could be, but especially we are not as competitive as we need to be, because all of this is based on competitiveness. And we are importing too much and producing too little that other people will buy, so that creates a kind of imbalance that makes it difficult to have the exchange rate fairly stable.
Well, we understand that the energy sectors is the one that would have, as you mentioned, would have be heavily reliant on to generate that forex, that U.S. dollar for us. But in a petroleum-based economy, the local dollar is often overvalued against the USD. Can you explain this and whether diversification suffers as a result of this?
Well, there are those who argue that if the price of your dollar is high, that is to say, if the value of your dollar is more than it actually is in the marketplace, it is harder to export. Whereas if your dollar has a low value, you can export more. And that might be true. But the problem is that in the situation where we are in Trinidad and Tobago, where so many things are in jeopardy, so many things are problematic. The ease of doing business, the competitiveness, the labor market. We only 54% of our labor force is actually active in the market. So you have 46% of the workforce idle in Trinidad and Tobago. So all of these things need to be fixed together. That is why I would not advise devaluation as an action on its own. If you are going to do that, you have to do a number of things in the economy because there are many, many problems. And that would be one element in it. We have done devaluations before. We had a floating dollar. I can't remember. It might have been 1993 mm-hmm. or 1994. And before that, we had a devaluation from 360, I think, to 425. It is not something that you should do without thinking it through carefully. And what it means is that when the price of your dollar when the value of your dollar is reduced, everything becomes higher. Imports become higher. The price in the grocery becomes higher if you're importing a lot of food and so on. So it can create a lot of hardship. So it's not something that should be done willy-nilly. It is a problem for a lot of countries, including our own. But I think if you're doing things like that to make the country competitive, and devaluation is one of the factors, you have to do about 7 or 8 or 9 different other things over time simultaneously so that you can get the thing right.
You know, when one looks at what is taking place, we recognize that throughout the last 10 years that we found ourselves in a situation where we could not sustain our economy in Trinidad and Tobago. This new administration, and there's often said, when you're outside of the game, you see the players better. So as you are sitting on the fence, as you are there looking on, paying attention to the economics of the day, what would your advice sound like to the current planning minister, energy minister, even to the prime minister, as to what one can do as it relates to increasing within the immediate future Forex in this country and turning around our economic stability? Because we saw what Standard & Poor's said. We move from stable to in the negative. How can we turn this around? How can this administration, I mean, given the fact that they're just, 6-7 months in, what we can look forward within the next year or so to see what is happening?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not sitting on the fence. I am not involved actively in partisan politics, but I'm always looking at the country in a developmental way, because I feel Trinidad and Tobago has a lot of assets, and it is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And I think our people have something special. And I think that we can do very well, but you need to create the ethos, the environment, the sensibility, the trust, the leadership and direction in order to make that possible. And so the first thing the budget has to have is a certain amount of clarity. So the clarity must be one which tells the population, these are the things that given our situation that we intend to do, this is why we are going to do them, and this is what we think the results will be. All right, so that the population understands what you're doing. That budget this year has to be part of a multi-year plan, because you can't come and do something else. There has to be some consistency. So you say to them, this is what we're doing this year. Next year, we anticipate so-and-so. Next year, we anticipate so-and-so. The fourth year, we anticipate so-and-so. And where we are trying to take the country is so-and-so, so that people have a context. They have a framework. They understand. They can fit what you say you're doing into some kind of understanding of the world they are likely to be living in over time. And then you do the things that must be done, which is that we need to get back to growth. We are not growing. The country, the GDP, as I said, dropped by 20%. We have gained over the last 3 years 1% a year, possibly. on average. And we need to make up 18%. So growth is important. How do you get growth? You get growth by investment. But you can't just invest just so, because you could invest in the wrong things. If you don't invest in tradable goods which can be exported, you are going to have investment that stimulates the local economy but does not bring in any foreign exchange. So that investment side is critical, and therefore it means that you have to fix all the things that will make it attractive for local private sector and foreign private sector to invest in export-oriented goods and services and come to Trinidad and Tobago and make their investment in Trinidad and Tobago to do that and to create jobs in the private sector. So the growth side is important, because you want growth, you want good jobs, and you want buoyancy in the economy, and you want foreign exchange from the export. The other thing is that if you don't have revenue, all right, because of what is happening with the energy sector, and under the best conditions, you are not likely to have an additional flow of foreign exchange from energy until 2028 or 2029, then you have to make up for the revenue. So there need to be some revenue measures, right? And I would suggest that, I mean, I don't see why we can't have the equivalent of a land and building taxes. Everybody like to have the little receipt every year to show continuing ownership, and that could bring in some revenue. They could use the BIR in order to increase the tax net of businesses. Let's say you have 50,000 businesses registered now. It might be more. There's no reason why you could not take that up to 75,000 businesses. In other words, increase the number of businesses in the tax net by 50% in order to increase the revenue. The third thing is that you could tax luxury imports. You might want to tax, let's say, racing boats. You might want to tax luxury cars, so that those who have the money and can pay for it, it wouldn't stop them from getting these things. But the demand and the incentive to want these things will be dampened. And when people buy it, you will get additional revenue. The other thing is that we could put some real energy in agriculture to cut down the food import bill, which is over $6 billion now. There is no reason it should be that high. And, you know, some of those things. So you need to get the revenue side right. You need to get the clarity. You need to cut the you have the revenue. And you could deal with the expenditure side. How do you deal with the expenditure side? If you reduce the imports, you will deal with the expenditure side. But if you cut, most of our state enterprises are losing money. They are being subsidized by the state, by the taxpayer. If you cut the subsidies, which is equivalent to 56%, I think, subsidies and transfers is equal to 56%. If you cut the subsidies to the state enterprises by 10% this year, for instance, I don't think that will kill any state enterprise, but it will force them, every state enterprise, the board and management, to be much more focused on cutting costs, increasing productivity, and getting their businesses organized in a reasonable way. And you would have the percentage cuts from every state enterprise that you have. So I think that you have to look at growth, you have to look at jobs, you have to look at revenue, you have to look at expenditure, and then you have to look at a multi-year budget, so that whatever you do this year, you build on that next year, the next year, etc., and people can see where you are going with all of this.
With that being said, as we get to 9 minutes, we have about six or less before we wrap the interview. What challenges did you face as planning minister to get diversification going?
Well, diversification is a very hard thing, which is why it has been so difficult to happen. We've had diversification of a certain kind. We moved from oil to natural gas, right? So that was one set of diversification. We strengthened and expanded the manufacturing sector and had some really important sectors in the manufacturing sector like food and beverage. So that was some diversification. But where we have missed the boat has really been in agriculture. It has been in agriculture and food production and food processing, manufacturing, all the things related to food. There must be a million things, for instance, in the world made out of corn. There might be a million things made out of rice. There might be a million things made out of wheat. So the agro-processing side is really, really important. So where we need the diversification is in agriculture. We need the diversification in tourism because, you know, Costa Rica, I did a study on Costa Rica and some other countries many years ago. And Costa Rica started out with about 100 or 200,000 tourists a year. And then what they did is systematically decided they would bring in 100,000 tourists a year. In other words, 1.2 million tourists a year over the cycle of 12 months. And they systematically worked on that and did that. And now tourism is the mainstay together with other technologies and things that they did. So we need, I think, to do the tourism to do that. And the third thing is that we need to bring in investments that do three things. One, investment here that export to other countries, so they bring markets with them, so they earn the foreign exchange. Investment here that takes us up the value chain, so that those people who are graduating from the university system can be absorbed into good jobs. And more than that, investment here in which the technology allows us to integrate with the global value chain, all right, so that we build a more sophisticated system in Trinidad and Tobago that is export-oriented and technology-rich. If we did agriculture and we did tourism and we did the investment in the way that I'm suggesting, and we went systematically to do that over a three-year period and were successful, we would begin to see some changes. Now, you ask me what was the problem as planning minister in doing something like that. The problem is that it takes time, and you need to build a cadre of people who appreciate and understand it in order to make it happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you really need an integrated government to be able to do that. So I was happy to see the Prime Minister try to rationalize her ministries and align them and to say that this was for the purpose of action and delivery and results. And let us see how that ties in with the budget strategy that they will unfold on Monday.
And my final question to you, we have about 2 minutes to go with this one. What, based on your information and knowledge and you paying attention, what do you anticipate would be the budget's main thrust in terms of the highlight? Meaning, what do you think the budget will more focus on this year? A lot of persons are saying that, some insider info is that agriculture is being looked at heavily for this budget. What do you anticipate?
I mean, I have no knowledge other than what you have or any citizen has, okay? But I would think that the three things that I just mentioned to you are very important. One, I would spend some time and energy on agriculture. I would develop a serious strategy for tourism, different strategy for Tobago, different strategy for Trinidad, because they attract, I would say, different kinds of tourists. And thirdly, the investment export value chain technology strategy, because there is something happening in the world that we have to be careful about, which is that AI is driving the world in a different direction. And if we do not have investments that put us in that trajectory, the country is going to be left back. They're going to be left behind. And AI has to be driven to improve agricultural production. It has to be driven to improve tourism services. It has to be driven to improve the public service. All the industries in Trinidad and Tobago have to be enhanced by this. And we have to have new industries that tie us to the global system. So, for instance, we can do a lot of the software work here, a lot of the background computer technological work. We have about 400 graduates a year in IT in Trinidad and Tobago, and tie into some of the global businesses in business-to-business arrangements. So if I had to do it, those are the three areas that I would focus on in terms of development, and job creation, and investment, and growth. And as I said, I would also focus on revenue increases from diversified sources and reduction of expenditure in some of the ways that I mentioned.
Dr. Botiwari, I want to thank you very much for chatting with us this morning on this deficit budget coming up, the forex shortage that we experience, and for explaining things in such a comprehensive manner that our listening audience could benefit. Thank you again, Dr. Botiwari, and do enjoy the rest of your day.
And thank you for reaching out. I appreciate it. Good morning to all your listeners.
Appreciate it. The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.